Our teenagers, when they came back from CIY, we've had a number of teenagers speak on a Sunday during Youth Sunday, and every one of our teenagers have done a great job. Ben came up to me a couple months ago, and he said, I would like to preach more. I said, I would like for you to preach more. He was really good, and he's got a burden on his heart, so this is one of, hopefully, many in the future. So Mr. Ben Bornschreger, not a senior, but on Senior Sunday, if you can give Ben a hand. And
good morning. Today we're going to be talking about persecution in the modern world. And this kind of lines up with Dusty's sermon series, which is kind of nice how everything fell together. It's still a thing, and even in 2026 and 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, Christians are still persecuted, even though we feel safe here in America. It's still a thing. It's not something that just magically went away because, 20 guys came together 250 years ago and said, let's make a country free with freedom of religion. We're still persecuted. In Paul's charge to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. But you know, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Listeria. The Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. Persecuted. We will all be persecuted for our faith. That's not a maybe. That's not, it might happen. It will happen. Sometimes it may be small. Sometimes it may be you aren't invited to something. We're lucky enough here in America that doesn't happen, but sometimes it's as bad as they kill you for it. It's not something that's gone away. And it will continue to happen. And we have to be mindful of it. Because if we don't, Satan will win, as he wants to. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing the glory when it is revealed to all the world. God loves testing us. He loves putting us through the ringer to see our faith. As a lot of you older folks know, I'm sure a lot more than people my age know, the more troubles you go through, the stronger your faith in Christ becomes. And I'm seeing that a little more lately in my life, and I'm sure a lot of you older folk have seen it way more than I have. I'm sure some of you older guys, some of you younger guys, I hope are seeing it as well. That we're not welcome on this earth. Because it's not God's earth, it's Satan's earth. God's place is heaven. And continues in 1 Peter, if you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs, but it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for being the privilege of being called by his name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what a terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news. And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to the godless sinners? So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. He will never fail you. He is with us always. He is with us in this room right now. He's next to you, and you, 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 and even you two back there. He's next to all of us. Because why shouldn't he be? We're all his children. Every one of us are his children. Testing. He loves testing us. Every test, every hard step, every struggle we go through is for Christ, and we do it in Christ. And that's how we should do it. So what does he ask us to do when we're struggling? And what does he ask us to do when he's testing us and there are people persecuting us and pushing us away? Paul says in Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes. Just as when it came to you, pray too that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people. Not for not everyone is a believer, but the Lord is faithful. And he will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. And we are confident that in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we commanded you. May the Lord lead your hearts into full understanding and expression of the love of God and the patient endurance that comes from Christ. He asks us to have faith. Have faith that this is his path. Have faith that we are doing the right thing for him. Faith and prayer at the end of the day are the only thing we have for God, to praise God. If tomorrow, for some reason, I become complete quadriplegic, can't move, can't barely talk. All I got is faith and prayer. We have to lift up everything to God and spread that message as much as we can. Paul continues his charge to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But you must remain faithful to the things that you have been taught. You know that they are true, for you know that you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood, and they have been given you the wisdom, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to make us realize what is wrong with our life. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. He trusts us with everything. We trust him as well. He trusts that we will follow his path, and we will. In Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12, on Jesus' Sermon of the Mount, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for his kingdom, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things about you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way, and as we are now. Again, persecution is still very prevalent, and it will happen. You can leave church today and it might happen. It could happen. It's happening right now. And it will continue to happen. Paul speaks about it again in Romans 12, verses 14 through 21. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that righteous anger for God, or leave that righteous anger of God, for the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame onto their heads. Do not let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. God calls us to not hate the people who are persecuting us. God calls us to be kind to them, to turn the other cheek. He calls us to bring them into our homes, feed them, clothe them. And that's hard. Because every single person who persecutes you could be a fellow brother in Christ. affects every single person, whether they like it or not, evil or good, they're all children of God. Some of them are lost. Some of them are very lost. We're lucky enough to have found him. I've been blessed. We're called to bless our enemies and bless the people who are persecuting us. Paul, I've used quite a bit of Paul in this sermon. Paul used to be Saul. He was the biggest persecutor of Christians. He was the number one hater. Everyone, every Christian knew his name and to look out for him and to stay away from him. And then he found God and he became the biggest figure in the first church. I mean, if he can do it, why can't just some atheist on the street do it? Everyone can find God. Everyone can. We can't hate people just because they don't know Jesus. People are led astray by Satan constantly. Whether that be from a church or whether that just be that's how they were born into the world. There are evil people in this world. And our goal is to turn them to Christ. That's what he calls us to do. Every day. Calls us to be fishers of men. Calls us to bring them to the church. Bring them here. Just as Jesus sits next to us now, bring the people persecuting us next to us. Just because they're lost doesn't mean they can't be found. Jesus continues his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard a law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is that? Even the corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are only kind to your friends, how different are you from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But if you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven, but you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. He's telling us point blank, even the tax collectors and the pagans can be kind to their friends, be kind to their family. Everybody is. He calls us to be different. He calls us to love our enemies. He calls us to love our enemies just as I'm standing right here. It's not a competition. It's love, the unconditional love that God has. And it is very much unconditional. There are people who have been on death row who have converted to Christ in their final days, and I'm sure they are in heaven now. As much as that may suck to think about, it is, they are still children of God who have found back to him. Because everyone is a child of God. Paul speaks in Corinthians, make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. Think about the worst thing you've done. God forgave you of that. I've done some pretty crappy things. I can't speak for everyone here, but I know there's some, at least one person here who's done something crappy, and they aren't proud of it. And he forgave you of that. He forgave Paul, number one persecutor of Christians, and put him in a place to spread God like no other. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Love, God's unconditional love. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've come from, God loves you. It's a weird thing to think about. No matter what I've done, God loves me. And we're called to love everybody like that. We're called to love the people who persecute us, to love those people as well. When Jesus was on the cross, sure, he was praying for every single person that hit him and beat him. Love, God's unconditional ocean of love. He loves all of us, all of the people who persecute us, all the people who hate us. He loves everyone. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to come together safely. Let us leave here today and spread your message. Let us be your salt upon this earth. Let us spread your message and love everybody, no matter what. In your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much. Give him a hand. Nice. Well placed together with the different scriptures and all that coming together. And I did forget to one little thing. I forgive you, give you instructions on what you had right there in front of you. In the preaching team meeting, We were talking about different ways that we could be taking notes. And so somebody threw out a word search idea. And I was like, well, that might be a little distracting, but it sounds fun. So we did that today. So this is the key, just in case you were looking and you couldn't find some of them. Bless was, well, let's wait. Don't go with the extra ones yet. Go back. So bless there, because that would get, that's just so full. So bless, it's easy to find if you just look for it, right? We're blessed, and it's easy to bless others. As he was talking about testing, testing's backwards, so that was a little test for you. So testing was backwards, but testing also crosses with faith, because our testing and our faith are linked. They are connected. They go hand in hand. Persecution, or being persecuted, of course. And then love. So you have Nicole Dizer to thank for that. She said, you have to have at least one of them backwards and upside down and diagonal. And so so I thought, well, we'll do love that way, because you guys were probably looking for love in all the wrong places today. And I mean, love's hard to find sometimes. So, but really, it's right there in the center. All along, it was right there, right? So, but I had some bonus words. I had a little bit of fun with this. We even had Lystra in there, so we can get the bonus words up there. Lystra from our maps. Forgiveness, or to forgive, as he was finishing up. Fiery trials, the second scripture he shared. How many guys found patience? Backwards, okay, patience, because patience is hard to come by. So you have to kind of work for patience a little bit. How many of you guys found joy in church today? How many of you guys found purpose in church today? How many of you guys found hope? Hopefully every one of us have found hope outside of a word search. This morning for what? Life is, oh, I put life in there accidentally. Oh, it is. I think I did put that in there. So I forgot that I put it in there. Oh, well. Well, thank you. Yes. But yeah, hope. Hope was not in there, but hope was the transition into being able to talk about. We have hope. Those of us who are Christians, and Ben's use of the word, or the phrase, everyone's a child of God. He was talking about everyone has been made by God. We're made in his image. But those of us who return to him, we're the people who have hope. And those who are outside of him do not have hope. For those of us who have hope, we are to be the ones to share it. And there will be persecution. There will be things that will push up against us during those times.